time for overtime.
Stop what you're doing and listen.
In the world of sports, it's all about the playmakers in today's headlines, from locals to the pros, with interviews from local standouts and sports all-stars across the country that will have you talking.
Oh, my goodness.
Touchdown.
Hear from coaches to players, sports analysts, and broadcasters who are a part of the action every day. Overtime, now with Burt Ramin on ESPN 102.3 AM 1000 KSOO, Sioux Falls sports leader.
It is a very busy day in the sports world, local or otherwise. Here to break it all down, react, and preview the upcoming NFL draft. I'm Burt Ramin. You're tuned in to the right place at the right time. It's overtime on a Tuesday, and it starts right now. The latest from the NBA, the Nuggets take the Lakers' best punch, smile, wink, and punch right back. Denver takes a 2-0 lead on a game-winning buzzer-beater fadeaway bucket from Jamal Murray. And that is just one little tiny bit of all the drama last night in the sports world. And we got all sorts of news and headlines right here in South Dakota and right here in Sioux Falls to tell you about today. We'll be talking USF baseball with head coach Grant Heave at 11:30. We'll be talking about the LFA MMA fight and the event coming up and the main event coming up on Friday night at the Pentagon. Mitchell Merciless McKee joins us. One of the headline fighters for Friday night's bouts comes up at 11:45. Can't wait to talk with him, the Minnesota native, former collegiate wrestler, now turned LFA MMA fighter. We'll get his keys to another win and a continued undefeated start in his pro career, entering the fight on Friday night at 5-0. One of the headliners on that main event for Friday night's event, and your opportunity to win some tickets is still here. I've got 8 tickets left. And what I want to do is at the end of hour number one, I'll call out for callers that can make it out to the Pentagon on Friday. You can score a 4-pack. You can score a 2-pack. Only use what you need because you want to help out your neighbor. We want to support the Pentagon and LFA MMA 182 as it rolls in to the Sioux Empire. That giveaway coming up at the end of hour number one after our chat with LFA MMA's Mitchell Merciless McKee. Hour number two, headlines and highlights, NFL latest draft previews today. We're into the top 5 today almost. We are there with number 6 and number 5 with the New York Giants and the Los Angeles Chargers are the two teams we're previewing today. Two teams that could be not picking at their spots. The Giants rumored to move up into the top 5 and the Chargers rumored to look into sell. New general manager, new head coach, and a roster that might not be ready just yet to take that pick. They need to stockpile some assets and go from there. First year for Jim Harbaugh, first year for Joe Ortiz, and the Chargers likely to trade down if possible, but a lot dependent upon where the quarterbacks go and when the quarterbacks go in the first round on Thursday night. We'll be breaking down the draft each and every day here this week on the show, including a lengthy mock draft with yours truly and Dustin Baker on Thursday. Dustin Baker back in for a double dip on Friday to recap and hopefully be talking about the future quarterback of the Minnesota Vikings that isn't Sam Darnold. A lot of people, myself included, think the Vikings will package their first-round picks and maybe a first-rounder next year to go up to number 3, to go up to number 4, maybe it's number 5, but either way, Minnesota likely, very likely in my eyes, to draft a quarterback come Thursday night. We will wait and see. Joe DeLeon, college football and NFL draft analyst with the Believe Network, joins us around 12:30. And we finish up today's show with the latest and greatest in the good, the bad, and the ugly. NHL postseason rolled on last night. Pair of game twos and a pair of game ones. It started in Boston, where the Bruins get beat by Toronto.
A long lead pass for Matthews. Matthews is in alone. Scores! Holy mackerel! Big Pappy has given the Leafs the lead.
And a big win for the Leafs on the road. 3-2 the final there. That series tied 1-1. The same cannot be said for the series that was hosted in Raleigh last night. Hurricanes finished the job. Take care of the Islanders. 5-3.
And there's still time left here. As Martin.
A Clutch play from Raleigh last night for the Canes. 5-3 the final. That series shifts to New York and Carolina with a 2-0 series lead. Those pair of game ones, Vegas off to a good start. 4-3 win in Dallas. Upset on the road. And the Kings give it their best shot, but hard to keep up with an Edmonton team that scores like this.
Hyman reversing to Draisaitl, guides it to Bouchard. McDavid, right face off, on tiptoed. 6-2. Hyman's got a hat trick.
Zach Hyman was done after that. 3 goals last night, but the team wasn't. They put the finishing touches on a 7-4 dominant win over the visiting Kings. Oilers lead that series 1-0. Tonight we have 4 game twos. Begins at 6 o'clock on ESPN. Rangers with a 1-0 series lead, playing host to the Capitals at 6 o'clock. 6:30 on ESPN2. Lightning visit the Florida Panthers. Panthers lead that series 1-0. Avalanche on the wrong side of it in game one are in Winnipeg for game two tonight. 8:30 on ESPN. Jets lead that one 1-0. And Vancouver with a 1-0 series lead plays host to Nashville. 9 o'clock on ESPN2. The NBA was the headline last night. The NBA was the story last night, and for good reason. Quite possibly the least entertaining game of the night, but still a really darn good one. Defensive battle. Cleveland takes a 2-0 series lead against that young Orlando team. Donovan Mitchell, a big reason why.
Here's Mitchell into the paint. Mitchell, pow, with two hands. Donovan Mitchell has a 14-point first quarter, and the Cavs are up by 7.
The other two games last night surely didn't disappoint either. Philly and New York went back and back and back and forth at MSG. Ultimately, the Knicks finished the job. Here's last night's final call.
Here's Maxey into the front court with 2. Maxey got a shoot. It gives it to Embiid. 3-pointer at the horn. No good! The Knicks win to go up 2-0 against the Philadelphia 76ers.
Josh Hart, 21 points, 15 rebounds. Joel Embiid, clearly a little frustrated, down, but certainly not out. Post game.
We're good. We're going to win this series. We're going to win this. We know what we got to fix. We did a better job today, so we're going to fix it. But we're the better team, and we're going to keep fighting.
Disappointing night for the Sixers, of course. I surely believe, Joel Embiid, that his team is not yet done. I was talking with a coworker right before going on air. We tell ourselves this every single year in the NHL, in the NBA, whatever. Hey, a series doesn't really start until somebody wins on the road. Nobody's won on the road yet, and as far as I'm concerned, Sixers have an opportunity to punch right back. We'll see if they can. Tim Legler says, I like their chances.
That genuinely is a series that I feel like could go either way, because there are so many components within the series that there's a big fluctuation of how it's going to go night to night. So that series, I think, is still alive even now as we sit here for Philly.
ESPN NBA analyst Tim Legler there. Lastly, the nightcap, Lakers and Denver. From Denver last night, Lakers dominated the first half. They let off the gas a little in the third, kept it up in the fourth, had a really good shot, but the Nuggets had the last shot and the last word.
He's at the midcourt circle. 4 seconds. 3 seconds left. Why are they not fouling? Jumper Murray. Got it at the horn. Denver bounced the comeback. They come back from 20 points down. They win game number 2. 101-99 is the final.
Couldn't imagine the exhaustion on the Lakers' side last night after such a great performance on the road, hostile environment against a far superior team. You deliver your best punch on the road. We'll see what the Lakers have left in the tank, but certainly got to be frustrating when you punch somebody in the mouth. You think it's a really hard one, one that's going to land them on their back, and they just turn around, wink, and smile at you. And that's what we saw last night from the Denver Nuggets. This team just really damn good, and the Nuggets keep on winning. Jamal Murray, here's his take on his winning shot of the game.
I think I had Jokic was kind of looming, waiting for me to make a decision, and then I just, faked like I was going to shoot a 3 or do a step back or something, and then AD kind of pressed up a little bit. I just got to my spot, beat him to the spot, and I was able to elevate and make it.
Absolutely beat him to the shot, and again, beat him to the spot. Step back jumper for Jamal Murray, a thing of beauty, and the Lakers crushed post game. And Darvin Ham saying, the Nuggets are a tough team.
That's a tough team. Like, you gotta come with it. You can't take any possession off. Ball gets knocked around, falls into Michael Porter Jr.'s hands. He hits a big 3 for them. So we gotta be on deck. at all times versus this ball club.
Really inspiring performance last night for the Lakers, but simply not enough. Chris Cantillon on Sportsmanlike saying the Lakers are done.
The Lakers are not winning four of the next five games. It's over. It's over. Like, it's over. That was their last stand. That was the last gasp. It is over. Like, there's a reason why it's starting to hear grumblings about how the organization is going to bring Darvin Ham back no matter what happens in this series. You know why they're saying that stuff?
Why?
Publicly? Because privately they're having a conversation on whether or not we got the right damn head coach.
Final score, Denver 101, Lakers 99. Denver leads that series 2-0. Coming up tonight in the NBA, Suns at Timberwolves, 6:30 on TNT. Leads off the coverage tonight. Pacers at Bucks, 7:30 on NBA TV. Mavericks at Clippers, 9 o'clock, the nightcap. That also viewable on TNT. Speaking of those fans out there that may not have a dog in the fight, as in their team not in the postseason, there's a lot to look forward to this offseason in the NBA, says Woj.
Listen, this is a team, I think, just like last summer, where the market was far more limited. It was Damian Lillard available. There was only so far they were going to go in a trade. He gets traded to Milwaukee. It's going to be a different summer in the NBA. I think there's going to be a lot of guys entering the NBA portal.
Right.
And I think there's going to be a lot more player movement this summer. Part of it is teams underachieving, but it's also part of the new salary cap. You know, payrolls have to change.
We thought we had a busy offseason a year ago. Woj predicting more of the same. This coming offseason in the NBA, again tonight's schedule, Suns at T-Wolves, 6:30 TNT. Pacers at Bucks, 7:30 NBA TV. Mavericks at Clippers, 9 o'clock on TNT. Major League Baseball check in now. Pirates over the Brewers yesterday 4-2. Milwaukee slips down to 14-7. Detroit wins in Tampa 7-1. New record for the Tigers 13-10. And finally, the Twins break through with some runs. 7-0 the final against visiting Chicago. Here's how the last one sounded yesterday.
Swung on, hit high in the air to right field for Julian. It's a towering, towering drive to right, and it's onto the Plaza for a home run.
Chris Atterbury on the call there. Eddie Julian home run, and that made it 7-0. That would be the final. Chris Paddock picks up the win, his first of the year. He's 1-1. Minnesota with the victory, now 8-13 on the season. Other finals, Toronto over Kansas City 5-3. St. Louis wins at home over Arizona 5-3, and San Diego over Colorado in Denver. That final 3-1 today and tonight in Major League Baseball. White Sox at Twins do it again. 6 o'clock pregame, 6:40, the official start time. Other matchups on the docket, Red Sox at Guardians, Brewers at Pirates, Tigers at Rays, Blue Jays at Royals. Cubs are home to the Astros, 6:40 on TBS. Diamondbacks at Cardinals, 6:45, the projected start time. It's NFL Draft Week, and Reese Davis, a guy who absorbs, lives, and breathes college football, has seen a ton of quarterbacks come through that particular era of the game, college football. And he says that Drake May could and should be the number one pick this year.
I have, for a couple of years, been on the Drake May bandwagon. I would consider taking Drake May one. I know they're not going to. And I think a lot of this, I've jokingly said to my buddy Pete Thamel that I have tired of the Drake May blasphemy over the, you know, over the last several weeks. I think people are going to go wherever he winds up, most likely three, I think. But wherever he goes, people are going to say, oh, wow, I guess he is good. You know, I think he's going to be a sensational pro.
That's Reese Davis again, ESPN college football analyst. And also piggybacking on that Drake May love, a lot of people would like to see Drake May don the purple and gold at the end of Thursday night. But here's what Evan Cohen had to say. If Drake May turns out to be this particular quarterback, that's a big win.
Jared Goff was the number one overall pick, has been to a Super Bowl with one team and an NFC championship game with another team. If someone tells me that is going to be Drake May, that is a home run pick at number three. We're not talking number one overall. We're talking number three overall. Smalls, you bring up all the time, one of these guys is going to be a bust. Mm-hmm. If a guy has Super Bowl appearance and NFC title game appearance, he's not a bust.
Evan Cohen absolutely hitting the nail on the head there in terms of that opinion, because you look at NFL draft history, and I pointed out the futility generally of number one overall picks in recent years. Eric Fisher, the last one to win a Super Bowl with the team that drafted him. But you look at these quarterbacks, and we're going from last year back. Bryce Young, Trevor Lawrence, Joe Burrow, Kyler Murray, Baker Mayfield, Jared Goff, Jameis Winston, Andrew Luck, Cam Newton, Sam Bradford, Matthew Stafford.
You look at that list, it's pretty darn rare. In fact, none of those guys won a Super Bowl with the team that drafted them. Joe Burrow went to a Super Bowl. Jared Goff has been on the biggest stage. Of course, others have been there. Andrew Luck had a nice career before it was derailed. Cam Newton, MVP, Super Bowl appearance. Matthew Stafford, Super Bowl winner, but not with the team that drafted him. These are pure and simply a dart throw. I don't care what analyst comes on this show, a national show, your favorite podcast, and says, hey, book it. This guy's the next Peyton Manning. This guy's the next Tom Brady. This guy's the next Drew Brees. You cannot say that definitively in the National Football League. There's too many working pieces. But if you were to say, hey, this guy could turn out to have the career of Jared Goff. Goff has been pretty darn good and pretty darn close in his career for a player that a lot of people love to hate on as far as his individual ability. But that dude's been able to win some games, and credit to what Detroit has done around him and what he has brought to that Detroit Lions football club. Jared Goff, pretty darn good quarterback, all things considered, among those drafted in the first round of the last 20 years of the NFL draft. NFL draft begins on Thursday, runs through Saturday from Detroit. You can listen to night one and night number two right here on ESPN Radio. 6 o'clock the start time on Thursday night, 5 o'clock on Friday night. Now into your ReliaBank headlines of the day, and we got a pair of huge stories to get to off the jump. First things first, right here in Sioux Falls, the Augustana women's basketball team has found their new head coach. Augustana Vice President for Athletics Josh Morton announced today that Sioux Falls native Nate Vogel will be the next head coach of the Viking women's basketball program. Celebration and formal intro of Vogel will take place coming up on Thursday, 11:30 a.m. inside the University Welcome Center on Augie's campus. The gathering is open to the public. Vogel arrives to Augustana after collecting a program best 25-7 record last year at Texas A&M International, a member of the NCAA D2 Lone Star Conference out in Laredo, Texas. He led the Dust Devils, great nickname, to their first ever national ranking, reaching number 17 in the country, and their highest ever regional ranking at number 3. According to Vogel in the statement, "I'm so excited to come home and lead the team I grew up cheering for as a little kid. To be able to bring my family back to Sioux Falls, where my parents and most of my extended family still live, is a dream come true." Welcome to Sioux Falls, the newest Augustana women's basketball coach, Nate Vogel, right back in town. And again, that formal intro Thursday, 11:30 a.m., open to the public at the University Welcome Center on the campus of Augustana. Other news pertaining to head coaching vacancies and fillings and desires moving forward. South Dakota women's basketball head coach Kayla Karius is departing Vermillion, taking the same position, head coach, at the University of Wisconsin Green Bay. Karius compiled a 37-29 record in 2 seasons with the Yotes, and South Dakota reached the women's NIT this year and had a nice little run there into the round of 16 in her second season at the helm. Native of Sheboygan, Wisconsin, Karius returns to her alma mater in Green Bay, and she was a standout on the basketball court for the Phoenix in her time there, earning the 2011 Horizon League Player of the Year Award, led Green Bay to 4 Horizon League titles, 3 NCAA tournaments, and the NCAA Sweet 16 her senior season. She received the Horizon League Cecil N. Coleman Medal of Honor at the conclusion of her playing career, and now Coach Kayla Karius, hate to see her leave. Thanks for all the hard work. 2 years here in Vermillion, guiding that USD Coyote women's basketball program, and you got the sense that the tires were spinning. It was moving really well in the right direction there. Looking forward to the future, and thanks for Coach Karius, always gracious to us here on Overtime and any media appearance we ever had the opportunity to talk to her. Wish her all the best at her alma mater, University of Wisconsin Green Bay, but now an opening, an immediate search already underway for the next head coach of USD women's basketball. More on both of those, the hiring at Augustana, GoAukie.com, and the departure of Kayla Karius and the immediate search open now down in Vermillion, GoYotes.com. South Dakota State's baseball game slated for tomorrow afternoon against Dakota Wesleyan has been canceled to allow the Tigers to play makeup games within their conference schedule. Similar on the other side, South Dakota State's softball upcoming 3-game non-conference road trip has been cut down to 1. The Jackrabbits were scheduled to begin the road swing with a doubleheader at Wisconsin this afternoon. 2-game set has been canceled due to anticipated weather in the area. SDSU is still slated to play a single game on Wednesday at Minnesota. Jackrabbits and Gophers Gophers expected to square off at Minnesota's Jane Sage Cowles Stadium with the first pitch at 5 p.m. Jackrabbit softball will follow that by returning home for their regular season, their final regular season home series. SDSU hosts St. Thomas at Jackrabbit Softball Stadium from April 27th. To the 28th. Now, lastly, let's close it out and close out your ReliaBank headlines of the day with this. The reigning NSIC champion Augustana football program recently wrapped up their spring game on Saturday as part of the festivities at the game. Three-time NSIC Coach of the Year Jerry Olszewski announced the five players voted as team captains for the upcoming season. Among the five are two-time captains Peyton Buckley and Hayden Wallace, and the duo welcomes a group of three newcomers to the captainship there, Matt Francis, Kyle Graham, and CJ James. For a full recap and everything to look forward to, including blurbs on each of those captains, go Augie.com, the place to go. We're going to take the break, and when we come back, we're going to continue our reaction to what happened in the NBA last night, what we expect tonight, the latest spreads. Can the Timberwolves get it done and hold serve and go up 2-0 over Phoenix? We'll let you know and get you the latest odds there. Also, a little bit more on the Denver Nuggets taking the Lakers' best punch and why the Lakers are, in fact, done. Coming up later on this hour, USF Baseball Talk with head coach Grant Heeb, and we'll be talking with one of the headliners for Friday's LFA MMA event here at the Pentagon. That's Mitch McKee, Minnesota native. He joins us at 11:45 on today's program. We take the break, back with more of Overtime coming up next.
The best sporting matchups and coverage. We are ESPN 102.3 and AM 1000 KSOO, Sioux Falls sports leader.
Moving right along on the Tuesday edition of Overtime. Typically on Tuesdays, we don't offer up gigantic opportunities to win big on the show, but you got a big opportunity today. LFA MMA ticket giveaway at the end of this hour. Stay tuned for that following our conversation with one of the headliners and one of the two fighters in that headlining main event fight coming up on Friday night. Mitch Merciless McKee joins us around 11:45, about 20 minutes from now on the Tuesday edition of Overtime. We'll get to LFA MMA in a moment, but it's time now to continue talking about the NBA postseason. Jamal Murray reportedly didn't even see the biggest basket of his career, at least not live. He didn't. Murray swished a step back 15-footer over AD at the buzzer last night, giving the Nuggets a stunning come-from-behind win. They trailed by 20 points in the second half. Final score 101-99. Murray took a tumble into the Nuggets bench along with Anthony Davis just as his shot fluttered the net, and the roar from the crowd shook Ball Arena to its core. I just lost my balance and fell. I think AD was in my way or somebody was in my way, and I just heard everyone scream, and that's how I knew it went in. More importantly, Denver got delivered a 2-0 lead in the Western Conference Series that shifts to Los Angeles for Game 3 on Thursday night. Lakers are a one-point favorite in that game at present, according to DraftKings, but I do believe at most this series will go to 5 games. The Lakers, pretty darn good basketball team, especially when they're on, but still, we saw it last night. The Lakers played just about their best game that they could, particularly in the first 3 quarters. And it still wasn't good enough on the road against the Denver Nuggets, who were noticeably a little off their game, especially early on. Big halftime deficit. Denver comes back and plays their biggest when they need to. Really darn good club right now for Denver. They lead it 2-0 in the Western Conference playoffs there. And again, that latest spread as far as the overall series goes. Denver now an minus 1,100 favorite to win the series. Lakers plus 700, according to DraftKings Sportsbook. One team that I'm not down and out on is the Philadelphia 76ers. One, because I picked them, and two, because I frankly believe that they're still a really darn good team. After the Sixers let a precious road playoff victory slip through their fingers in the most dramatic fashions last night in Game 2, final score there, 104-101, Sixers superstar Joel Embiid declared Philadelphia will go on to win the series. We're good. We're going to win this series. We're going to win this. We know what we have to fix. We did a better job today, so we are going to fix it. We're the better team. We're just going to keep fighting. For a few minutes, it felt like the Sixers had gutted out what would have been an incredibly important, impressive victory to even the series. But ultimately, too little, too late for the Sixers, and a lot of clutch baskets for the Knicks down the stretch. 104-101 is the final. 2-0 the series lead there. A little bit more on that contest moving forward. Knicks minus 450, Sixers plus 350. So Vegas still has some respect for the Sixers win in Game 3. And I'm sure if that happens at home in Philadelphia, it'll even up just a little bit for the Sixers to get back on the right track. They'll need to play their best. And also, pretty inspiring performance, all things considered, last night from Philadelphia and the Lakers to give them their due in a defeat. Update injury-wise, moving forward in the NBA postseason, Clippers star Kawhi Leonard remains questionable for Game 2 of Los Angeles' first-round playoff series against the Mavericks tonight. Leonard participated in practice yesterday, but Coach Ty Lue said there would be no contact during what he described as a walkthrough practice session designed to clean up things the team needed to work on. He's going to go through practice today, and we'll see, Lue said when he asked if Leonard will play tonight. Leonard has missed 9 straight games with inflammation in his right knee, crucially important to a deep run for the Clippers this year. Leonard has not played since March 31st, and Lue said he did not go through any contact prior to be listed as questionable on the injury report and missing Sunday's Game 1. If Leonard doesn't return tonight, he'll have another 3 days before Friday's Game 3, which will be in Dallas. Clippers lead the best of 7 series right now, 1-0. Spreads for tonight, Suns and Timberwolves. T-Wolves, of course, at home for Game 2. 3-point favorite is Minnesota. Over-under set at 211.5. Indiana and Milwaukee. I'm on the Pacers still, even though Milwaukee played pretty darn well and shut a lot of people up in Game number 1. Milwaukee, 1-point favorite at home. Dallas and the Clippers tonight. Dallas, road favorite, 1.5-point favorite there in the nightcap. Tomorrow, Heat and the Celtics. Boston is a 15-point favorite in that game. Pelicans, Thunder. You got to go on the Thunder there. 7.5 the spread for tomorrow's contest. And as far as the overall series goes, I made note of it, put a story out at ESPNSiouxFalls.com. Before the postseason started, the Timberwolves were an underdog in this first-round series to Kevin Durant, Devin Booker, Bradley Beal, and the Phoenix Suns. With the Game 1 win, especially in pretty darn dominant fashion, Timberwolves now minus 150 to win the series. The Suns still with the best odds of any team trailing, plus 125. That ties the Dallas Mavericks, who are right there as well in their series with the Clippers. That is the latest from the NBA. Certainly a lot to get to, a lot to react to, and the Denver Nuggets are cruising. It was not easy last night. Hard to say cruising, but they are moving forward to a first-round victory. Up 2-0 against the Lakers. It'll take a lot, and I mean a lot, for the Lakers to climb their way back into the series. We'll see if they're up for the task in game number 3. That one back at home in L.A. We take the break talking USF Cougar baseball with head coach Grant Heeb next on Overtime.
Streaming live on This is Overtime with Burt Ramin on ESPN 102.3 and AM 1000 KSOO, Sioux Falls sports leader.
Right back with you. It is the Tuesday edition of Overtime, talking USF Cougar baseball now as we head to the ESPN hotline and welcome in head coach Grant Heeb. Guided his team overall this season to a solid record thus far. Overall record 21-19, 14-16 within conference play. Coach, always great to check in with you. How you doing these days?
I'm doing pretty good. Thanks for having me.
Of course, it's great to talk to you, Coach. Let's talk about the recent stretch. Obviously, a mixed bag for you. It's a 4-game losing streak for your squad. But overall, what can you glean from the last couple weeks of the season as you guys get ready for the final 10 or so games of the regular season?
Well, yeah, you kind of hit it on the head. It's been kind of up and down lately. Before we went on this 4-game losing streak, we actually beat Minnesota State. Jake Ammon pitched well and got some good relief. And that was the first time I beat Minnesota State. Being the head coach, that was a good win.
Yep.
And then we dropped the second one, and then we went up to Mary and forgot to get on the bus and had a rough weekend up there and starting pitching wasn't very good and defense wasn't very good. And we haven't played on a lot of natural fields, and that infield was like playing on the moon. And so I mean, we came in with the fourth highest fielding percentage in the nation, and did not look like that was the case when we went up there. And so, yeah, they took full advantage and kind of beat us down. And so we're hoping to get back on track. We have a big series with Wayne starting tomorrow, and then Winona State this weekend. So we got a big last 10 games ahead of us. And, you know, we're in eighth place right now, have a one-game lead over Concordia St. Paul, and we finish up with them. So it's, yeah, it's going to be it'll be a fun stretch. I mean, this is what we were hoping to be in this situation. So we just got to close out well and hopefully bounce back from the past weekend.
Coach, what has the message been to your team this week? Because obviously you mentioned you look at the box score, you look at the scores to the last few games. Of course, pitching obviously will come into play, fielding comes into play. But what's the overall internal dialogue and message to the young guys? Obviously, still in competition, still a lot to play for. But what's the message been like this week in the program?
Work ahead in counts. We've been falling behind, getting in hitters counts too often. And early in the season, we weren't doing that. And then offensively, just having better at bats. We hit some balls hard this weekend, hit some mad guys. You know, that's baseball. But our catcher went down, and so that he's been a big part of our success. And my center fielder wasn't able to make the trip. His grandma passed away. So it was some big pieces in the middle of our lineup that we didn't have. But kind of that next man guy mentality has been my, you know, we have more depth, I should say, than we've had in the past. And so we should be, you know, better suited to fill in for these guys. But, you know, the center, Swanson, he'll be back this week. And Ryan Golden had an MRI on his hand, and we're hoping he'll be back at some point. But, like I said, if not, the other guys, you know, have to step up.
Coach, in your estimation, obviously you've been coaching at USF for a little while. By the way, all things USF Cougar baseball, usfcougars.com. Coach, in your estimation, though, this time of year, regardless of the record, regardless of the upward, downward trajectory of your team and the internal dialogue, what are a few keys at this stage of every season with 10 or so games to go in the regular season? What are a few keys for that needed growth down the stretch to end the season on a high note and propel yourself into the postseason?
Well, you hit it. I mean, getting into the postseason is big. That's been our goal, getting back in there. We were in there 2 years in a row, had a rough year last year. And so it's kind of just it's basically who shows up in this league. I mean, Augustana's kind of separated themselves from the rest of the league. And besides that, it's wide open. If you show up, you can beat anybody. And if you don't, you're going to get beat. And so it's just kind of getting these guys to, you know, just build. I mean, stay healthy, feel the best you can on game days, trying to keep them because, you know, it's a long trip when you got to go up to Bismarck, some guy, you know, Duluth, wherever you travel, and there's a lot of travel in this league. So a lot of it's just trying to have these guys rested up, ready to play, and getting through to them that you can't take any days off in this league. If you do, you'll get beat no matter who you're playing. So it's a matter of who, kind of some of it comes down to mental toughness and things like that.
Doubleheader coming up tomorrow, 1:30 and 3:30 in the afternoon, playing at home to Wayne State. Saturday, you've got a doubleheader. That is part of the alumni games. And Sunday is senior day, Winona State in town Saturday and Sunday there. Let's talk seniors. Obviously, it's a big deal for any collegiate program to have strong leadership and a strong senior class. Safe to say, you've got a lot of them this year, 11 seniors for sure, maybe a few that might opt to make this their final year. We'll wait and see. But highlight some of those seniors and what it means to the program to have such a senior-laden class.
Oh, it is great for the way they go about their business. A lot of these guys, they're not all starters. Some of these guys are relievers. Some of them are role players, pinch hitters. I mean, they've all kind of played their roles and haven't said a word and all kind of understand that we've been getting younger and better talented players over the last few years, and this program's been moving in the direction I've been trying to get it to. And so, no, they've been great. I mean, Tyler Cate, their second baseman, he's been here for 5 years, came in the first year with COVID and redshirted that year, and then has been just a guy, a catalyst kind of on the top of our offense. When he's playing well, our offense is usually going pretty well. And so he's been fun to have, and he's going to be a tough guy to lose. And then, you know, we have Derek Lundgren, a kid from Laverne, who pitched out of relief sparingly over the first few years, and this year has been one of our guys that we can throw in there at any spot when we got second and third, base loaded, whatever. And he's been able to get out a lot of jams and scram those runners. And it's been a big, big piece of our bullpen, you know. And then, like I said, I got a couple guys, Ben Surrey, also a Laverne guy that I'm trying to talk back into coming for one more year. He has another year of eligibility. And I, you know, me, I'm I'm old and I'm still playing town team ball and I'm trying to tell them, hey, you don't want to leave a year of eligibility on the table. You're going to regret that in 10 years. And so he's been a big, I mean, part of the reason our defense has been so good is that he's like a Hoover vacuum at first base. He can pick anything. And it's been a, I haven't had many first basemen that are that good defensively. Typically, that's a position that a guy can swing in and he's just over there to keep his bat in the lineup. But he's been a game changer for our defense. And so I'd love to have him back next year. And then Reese Gaber, who's been our number one, had a couple of rough starts, the last few starts, but he's also a guy that might do grad school. And, you know, a lot of these guys, they get late into college, they start getting girlfriends and falling in love. And so there's a lot of outside pressure and things that these guys have coming their way. And I'm just kind of looking at the baseball side of things too, because, you know, I obviously love the game a lot. So I want them to stick around, but, and they're good, great captains, good guys to have. So it's like tough replacing those type of guys. And then another one, Brady Clare from Stock Rapids, Minnesota, but he always corrects me. It's Sartell. He's all conference, all region player last year. He's been a great guy. We brought him in from DCTC up in the city as a transfer out of community college, and he's been a stud and just the way he goes about a business. So, yeah, there are definitely some big holes, you know, that we're going to lose, you know, but I am excited with these young guys and some of the things I've seen and some of the growth from these guys that I think we'll be trending in the right direction. Most of our pitching is coming back. I mean, Grayson Skinner is another senior who's a post-320 kid from Rapid who started at Miles City Community College and kind of was a utility guy and came in here, and he really locked in with Coach Hershoff and got really a lot better on the mound, and then, you know, hurt his elbow. And this year he's just starting to come back. He's thrown 3 innings, and last year he was the starter for us. So we're hoping he can help us down the stretch, you know, but yeah, just how it is in pitching, you know, that's why I tell my guy, you can never have enough pitching, because it seems like there's always injuries and things going wrong. And just with all these kids trying to throw 90 plus, it just seems to be a typical thing more now these days.
USF baseball, the topic of conversation right now. Head coach Grant Heeb on the ESPN hotline. Overall record 21-19, 14-16 within the conference. And coming up tomorrow, doubleheader to Wayne State at home. Over the weekend, the alumni game, pair of games coming up on Saturday, 1:30 and 3:30. Senior day, Sunday at noon against Winona State. Coach, before we let you go, give us some things to watch for tomorrow against Wayne State and over the weekend against Winona.
Well, I'm happy to say we got the 82 Hall of Fame team getting honored, at the Saturday alumni game. And that already kind of gave me nightmares of Dennis Simon hitting home runs off me in the town team when I was a young kid thinking I could throw gas by him. He just turned them around on me. But no, it should be a fun weekend playing at home, having senior day. We're hoping we can finish strong, get in the tourney, and hold at least that 8th spot. So, yeah, I'm just hoping for some good weather and some good baseball these last couple weeks.
Looking forward to it as well. It's been a blast to catch up with you all season long. Best of luck to your team down the stretch. Hopefully talking some postseason baseball with you before too long, Coach. Thanks as always for the time.
Appreciate it. You have a good day.
All right, you as well. USF baseball head coach Grant Heeb, our guest. More information, follow along, watch the games, usfcougars.com. Tough stretch lately, 4 straight losses. They've allowed double digits in those 4 games. Still a very respectable record and still in competition and contention for the postseason tournament. 21-19, the overall record for the USF Cougar baseball team. 14-16 in the conference. And again, upcoming schedule, pair of games tomorrow, 1:30 and 3:30, home to Wayne State. Saturday, the alumni games, 1:30 and 3:30 to Winona. Sunday, Winona as well. Senior day, those festivities get going a little bit earlier than the first pitch time of 12 o'clock noon. Special thanks as always to Grant Heeb, USF baseball head coach, for joining us. We take the break. We come back with LFA MMA fighter Mitch McKee, Minnesota native, fighting in one of the biggest, in fact, the biggest event, biggest fight coming up on Friday night for the LFA event here from the Sanford Pentagon. We take the break, come back with that and more when more of Overtime continues right here on ESPN Sioux Falls.